everybody, to Jawanza for Life, also known as Health, Wealth, and Divine. Happy Tuesday, Haruka Hootie's Day. I hope everybody's being just and fair with the people that you come in contact with. It's a beautiful day, and I'm very, very excited to have as my special guest a brother that has been on the show many, many times, and each time he comes on, he shares a wealth of information, and I just want to encourage everybody to get your paper and pen or however you write, get something to write with, because you might want to take notes, okay? This information is just too good, too powerful, too necessary to just let it go in one ear and out the other. If you've been tuning in for a while, you know that my brother, Dr. Hehi Metara in Comet, is on pretty regular on Health, Wealth, and Divine, and each time, again, he comes on, he brings a wealth of information. We've done series on the 11 Laws of God. We've done shows on the I Ching, you know, I mean, just everything, you name it. I mean, comedic spirituality, you know, African names, I mean. And now we're in the midst of a series on the seven divisions of the spirit. If you missed the first show that we did on that, then definitely I encourage you to check out the archives, because that was an overview, that was the introduction into the seven divisions of the spirit. And today we're going to be covering the Kab and the Kybit. But in case you're just tuning in for the very first time and you've never heard Brother Orwa before, let me tell you a little bit about my special guest today. Orwa Hehi Metara in Comet has been a member of the Oseraset Society since 1975. He was appointed Orwa, which is Paramount King, by Shechem Meshechem Ra'un Nefer Amen, who is the chief priest and king of the Oseraset Society. As Orwa, he is responsible for guiding the lives of Oseraset's members and the society's activities in Maryland, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. He's a member of the society's Kerry Hebb priesthood and headed Oseraset's African Support Project. He holds a bachelor's degree in African American Studies and a master's degree in education, both from Howard University, and he also is in possession of a doctor's degree. And he has named and supervised the naming of hundreds of men, women, and children, and he's also an author. He's written an awesome book called African Names, The Ancient Egyptian Keys to Unlocking Your Power and Destiny. If you haven't gotten that, we'll tell you how you can get that as well. So, again, I'm just very, very pleased and humbled to have as my special guest again, Brother Orwa, Dr. Hehi Metara in Comet. Welcome back to Health, Wealth, and Divine, Brother Orwa. Great to have you back.
Thank you for bringing us back on.
It's my pleasure, sir. Again, every time you come on, you feed us, and the information that you share is just, it's so vital. It's so vital, and I just really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to come on and share this information. And I want to say to the listeners, again, time is valuable, okay? And so for Brother Orwa to take the time to come on and to share this information with us, I encourage you, the listeners, to share this information with people that you know, because, again, time is valuable, and we don't do this for nothing. There's a reason why Orwa has agreed to come on and share this information, because it's powerful and we need it, and we're very, very blessed to have him as our guest. So as I mentioned, the last show we did, we kicked off this series on the seven divisions of the spirit with the introduction. And in that, Orwa laid the foundation for the discussion that we're going to have today. And if you missed it, again, I encourage you to go back to the archives and check out the introduction to this series. So tonight, we're going to continue the series, and we'll be discussing two divisions of the spirit, the Kab and the Kybit. Brother Orwa, to start us off, do you feel it's necessary to go back and, you know, do a brief overview of the introduction, you know, just so for people that are tuning in for the first time, or would you just like to start with the two that we'll be covering tonight?
No, I think we need to do some kind of overview survey. First, let's start off by saying that people can, in terms of the comedic appreciation of the spirit and the role of the spirit and the function of the spirit. A valuable resource is the Medina Terra series by Shagam Shagam Ron Nephraim in the first. So if people have access to or don't have access to the Medina Terra series, they should, you know, order a book, one of those books, the seven volume set. But the foundational material, I would say, I would look into books volume 3. Might be a good beginning point, even though 1 is the beginning. A lot of people mm-hmm. have trouble grasping the material in 1. But, you know, 1, 2, or 3 gives you a good foundation in terms of this material. But then it's also in the other books that Ron Nephraim has written as well. But from the perspective of the spirit, we first need to define and make sure that we're all on the same page. When we talk about spirit, what are we talking about? What is spirit? Because we're working in English, and the language does not afford us, unfortunately, because of the cultural and historical background of the developers of the language, does not afford us the ability to accurately communicate what we're talking about. What do I mean by that? When, if you were to study chemistry, you could go to the library or Google or whatever, and in English, the language through which we're communicating, you could find a library, an encyclopedia, full of knowledge on chemistry, because the chemical knowledge that the world has been I don't want to say fully, but well exploited and understood through the appreciation of the contributions of Western scientists. Of course, we know that the foundation comes out of Africa, the beginnings come out of Africa, but in terms of the knowledge that the world has today, it's been developed through the Western mind, Western appreciation. And so there's a great deal of knowledge about chemistry. So we wouldn't say, if we were talking about the importance of manipulation of chemical elements, we wouldn't say just go into the laboratory and mix up some chemicals, because we know that certain combinations of chemicals could be very deadly in terms of fumes or explosions or whatever. So we would be able to delineate within the context of our conversation what specific chemicals would do what and what you should mix with what and what you should avoid mixing with others, because again, the culture has expounded and exploded and developed the genius behind this talent, this skill of chemistry. But when we come to the spirit, though, in Western culture, we have just one word, spirit, and it doesn't give us a lot of room for delineation and explanation, because there's a lot of ambience and ambiguity, I should say, about what exactly is the spirit. Whereas in African culture, our ancestors in ancient Kemet migrated across Africa. When you study the traditions of many African cultures, you'll find that they just don't talk about spirit. They have different divisions, different levels, different terms that are used to communicate about spirit on different levels. Not all spirit is just not spirit. There's just this like saying that sound is sound and music is music. No, music is a composition of a certain range of notes. And as you get to study notes, then you understand that, well, there's these seven primary keys or octaves or whatever. Do, re, mi, fa, sol, la, ti, do, right? So there's seven seven variations or expressions of the knowledge of music itself. Same is true with light. You could say just light, but we know that white light is composed of various other rays that come together to form this thing that we call white light. Well, our ancestors applied that same skill and knowledge and understanding and explanation to the world of spirit. So what do we mean by spirit? Well, the English word spirit comes from the Latin word spiritus. And spiritus is a Latin word which means breath. So spirit has something to do with the word, with the concept of breath, of breathing, or air, or movement, or energy. Because basically, spirit is basically energy. What we say, what the ancients used spirit and broke it down, today we break it down in the term energy, energy matter. So if energy matter is, as Einstein postulated in his theory of relativity, if energy is basically just matter on a different level, then everything in the world, which is an expression, a modulation of energy, is also has a material component. So it's just various levels of understanding or expression of this thing. And energy, you know, also, whenever you see energy depicted, it's always depicted in a wavical format. So you'll see the waves of energy. If you're measuring the energy, the brain, off the brain with the machine, you see these waves of energy. Where the heart movement, you see these waves of energy. Energy is it moves in spirit. It moves, it's breath, it's energy, it's movement. It's always oscillating. So there's different vibrations, there's different sounds, different notes. The same way that we can look at seven primary colors, seven primary sounds, but there are seven primary expressions of energy that express themselves through the seven different levels of creation. And so our ancestors understood this and broke it down into these different levels. And so they communicate about how to understand and manipulate and work and grow with and through the understanding of spirit. So in ancient Kemet, the generic term for spirit was what we call Ra. Now Ra has been misrepresented as the so-called sun god, but the sun was used as a metaphor for Ra, meaning, and when you talk about Ra, you talk about rays, you talk about radiant energy, you talk about energy itself. And since the sun is the source of life, it was used as a metaphor to communicate to the people that the spirit of Ra is the source of all life. The spirit has energy which manifests. Spirit is energy which manifests itself on different levels, from the subtle energy down to the material level. So when we talk about the physical body per se, we're not talking about some, because you hear people saying mind, body, and spirit. Well, that again belays the lack of understanding of what spirit exactly is. Because our ancestors were very clear that the physical part of the world, as Einstein has proven with his theory of relativity, is also an energy basis. It's also part of the energy world. It's just a different level of energy expression. So to say mind, body, and spirit is kind of being redundant. It's spirit, which expresses itself on different levels, one of which is mental, one of which is physical. So we talk about, we mentioned that in ancient Kemet, there's an understanding of the system of the seven levels of spirit. We also find this expressed in other parts of Africa. So it shows that amongst the Zulu, for example, they have seven divisions of spirit. Amongst the Akan, we'll find that there are seven or eight different spiritual expressions, depending on, you know, the different subgroups within the Akan. They kind of focus on one or more or the other. But the point I'm making here is that people who understand what something is are able to break it down into its component parts. Because that's how you really understand something. You have a car, perhaps. I don't have a car, but people have cars.
Mm-hmm.
Most people know how to get in, start the thing, and drive. Put gas in it, and maybe if the oil light comes on, check the oil. But people who know cars are able to go in and break it down into all the component parts, which have changed over the years. So you have transmissions, you have all these computer things within the car. So that's what a true master of a car will be able to do. So you wouldn't take your you wouldn't bring your car to me to find out what's wrong with your car if you were smart. Now, if you want to bring it to me and pay me, you know, I'll take the money, but I'm not going to be able to help you because, you know, I don't know anything about cars. But yet and still, we go to people who don't know anything about the spirit, and they want to, you know, talk to them. They want something to tell them about the spirit. Well, in Western culture, there isn't that kind of knowledge. So we have to, if we want to truly get a grasp of what is spirit, we need to tap back into our ancestral roots, our African ancestral roots, because our ancestors devoted a great deal of their genius to understanding this thing so they can break it down, so they can show someone how it operates, right? The ability to show someone how a car operates because you go in and understand the component parts means that you can then be of service in helping a person to use that vehicle. Well, our ancestors took the time and the energy and their genius and devoted their spiritual cultivation to understand the spirit and how the spirit functions so they could be the mechanic, the spiritual mechanics for the society. So that if people, as we're growing and working through our lives and we're having these spiritual issues, which is basically all issues have spiritual roots, you need someone who understands the spirit in order to explain how the, what's wrong and how to fix it. Just like if you have a problem with your car, you know, the car is sputtering, is making noises, is whatever, you need someone who understands the car to be able to explain what's wrong and show you how to fix it. So that's why we talk about the seven divisions of the spirit. We say seven divisions. There are several other aspects of the spirit, but these are the major units, if you will. It's just like you have major divisions within the body. You have a circulatory system. That's a major system within the body. But the circulatory system has component parts. You have the heart, you have the arteries, you have the veins, etc. So you have these seven divisions of the spirit, each of which has subunits within them, which are also spirit. Because all things are spirit. All things are made of energy, and energy is what we call spirit. What today we call energy is what our ancestors understood and communicated as spirit. So when we talk about the seven different levels, then we're talking about seven different levels of which that we're able to access and manipulate and travel or work within the context of our lives. And we used last week, the analogy of seven different vehicles of transportation, for example. Well, I'm going to go through that again. People can review that, those who missed it last week. But the essence of that discussion is that the vehicle that you're traveling in affords you a different level of experiences. So since there's seven different levels of the spirit, each level, each division affords us a different level of experience. And what's the goal of the experience? Well, the ultimate goal of all experience on Earth, the reason why there is a world, the reason why there is creation, the reason why man exists, is to manifest in the objective realm, through the manifested realm, the divinity, the fullness of the divinity of the Creator itself, in God. I think we might have had that conversation last week in terms of people asking, what's the purpose of life? Well, the purpose of life is for God to realize his potential. And what do you mean by that? Meaning that prior to manifestation and creation, God is a potential for all knowing. But there's nothing there to know. You know things. If nothing exists, if there are no things in existence, one cannot know anything. So the only way God can realize the potential of being an omniscient reality, in an all-knowing reality, is to manifest all things possible and then experience those things, hence know those things. Hence, God becomes an all-knowing reality or realizes potential. So man was created to become the vehicle through which God is ultimately able to realize the fullness of his potential in the manifested realm. Because man is the only created vehicle that affords us the ability to communicate or express the true blessing of the what it means to be a divine being, that is having a free will. You know, there's an old saying that God made man in his image and likeness.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But then some people flip it around and say man makes God in his image and likeness.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And both of them are true. Ultimately, God made man in his image and likeness, meaning if God's a divine being, so too is man a divine being. But then man, through his misunderstanding of his divinity, has also made God in his image. What do I mean by that? You will hear people talk about, and you'll see people writing and talking about spiritual concepts or spiritual expressions or whatever, where God is an expression of emotion. God is angry. God is this. God is that. Well, let's think about that from a logical perspective. Now, you may have been angry before in your life.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe you know someone who's angry, has been angry. Now, anger, we know scientifically, is not a good fit for man because it undermines our ability to process and address situations clearly because it lowers our IQ. It shoots all kinds of hormones, dangerous hormones, cortisol, et cetera, into the blood system, which are toxins. So when a person gets angry, physiologically, their body is shutting down. I mean, it's not going to, and if your body is shutting down, you're not going to be able to operate it at its optimal. You're not going to be able to get the fullness of the potential expression from a body that is being poisoned and IQ is being diminished.
True.
So if I say then that God is angry, what am I saying? That God is not divine. God is functioning now in something less than his potential.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Good point.
So if man makes God in his image, then God is going to become the same problematic being that man is. He'll be jealous. He'll be angry. He'll be this. He'll be that. And we find these kinds of statements in language. And these statements of language betray the fact that what is being said, what's being understood, truly is not that man, God is a divine being. Because to be divine, you cannot function through the mode of anger, because anger is destructive. If God were to be angry, then, let me back that up. Let me get a better picture. If man is a divine being, I mean, we have the potential within us through our cultivation of our spirit to express the divine qualities on earth. And one of those divine qualities is omnipotent, which we can translate as all-powerfulness.
Okay.
Now, if I have this ability to be all-powerful, but I am under the influence of emotion, jealousy, anger, fear, whatever, and I'm experiencing a situation which is pushing on one of those buttons, what do you think will be the result?
There's going to be an emotional response that's going to be harmful to your person.
But not just me, but also to whatever the subject is in that situation. So if I'm afraid of snakes, for example, and if I come across a snake, I'm going to zap that bad boy. Matter of fact,
right.
I'm not even going to wait to come across it. I'm going to zap all snakes already. So I don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these people don't like roaches. Roaches
mm-hmm.
are gone. How many people mm-hmm. don't like other people?
Okay.
Other people are gone.
That's true.
So
that's true.
If God is an emotional being, and man is made in the image of God, and man has the potential, that same potential as God, and man has awakened this all powerful energy that God is, then man will become the world will be gone in 3 seconds flat.
Mm-hmm.
I'm giving 3 seconds just for the eyes on the face. No eyes. Because if everyone right now had the power to bring in or take out of creation anything that they wanted, everything would be gone. Because there's someone somewhere who doesn't like something, everything.
That's true.
So, but what if it is in our potential then to manifest this omnipotence, what is the safeguard? What is to protect the world from a man gone ballistic?
Mm-hmm.
It will be free will. Until I cultivate within my own spirit that aspect of the spirit, which teaches me or shows me that I don't have, I choose my response, and that the correct response is always a response which is linked into the interdependency and interrelationship of all of the things. Until I cultivate the ebb part of my spirit, I'm kind of taking things out of sequence, but the ebb part of my spirit, then I'm not able to express or cultivate or access the divine part of my spirit. So let's just, now we're talking in this language, let's just go through and give a summary overview of the seven divisions so that this kind of discussion can make a little more sense.
Okay.
So the top division, the number one division of spirit, the top division of spirit is the part of the spirit through which man is able to, and I say man, I'm talking about the collective man, woman. Man is able to realize, means to know that he's a divine being as a functional reality.
Mm-hmm.
And what takes place at that point? Takes the understanding that I am unified with all things. All things are part of me. Nothing is against me. So the discussion that we were having a few moments ago about if people that didn't like this or people don't like that, how they were removed from existence.
Yes.
Once a person has awakened, developed, tapped into the top division of the spirit, then they understand that everything is a part of their being. There is the one self, and there's one being, body, and everything that's in the world and not in the world is a component part of this body. It's like, and a good analogy is the human body. You have a body, I have a body. Unfortunately, for the most part, we become polarized in appreciation of the body into specific areas of the body. Something comes up. Like, most often, most of us dwell in our head.
Mm-hmm.
If the stomach starts growling, then our focus goes to the stomach. I get something to eat.
Right.
If something falls on my toe, then my focus goes to my toe. Oh, I gotta address this problem here.
Mm-hmm.
But unless there's a problem or an issue or a situation that comes up, the majority of people, we dwell in our head too much. So, meaning where there's a disconnect between me, the person, the consciousness, and my body as a whole. Even though within my body there's an intelligence that's always running and keeping everything functioning. Like you and I have been talking for a while now. We've been breathing, and you didn't say to yourself, oh, I better breathe. There's an automatic program that's taking place that keeps the body functioning, keeps it alive. Your body, you might have eaten some food earlier today. Your body's digesting that food, creating blood from the banana mm-hmm. that you ate. So all of this is taking place in the background while we're out here making a mess of our lives in the foreground through our thinking. But there's a divine intelligence within us that keeps everything in this homeostasis kind of situation. But once we tap into the top part of the spirit, then we understand that everything is a part of my being. And I don't have to have necessarily a pain there to acknowledge it. Because I'm now the divine intelligence that's keeping everything working behind the scenes, intricately involved in development and protection and growth and expression of all aspects of my being. So that's the top part of the spirit. The second part of the spirit is the part of the spirit through which we're able to express as a function of our being what it means to be omniscient, means to be all-knowing. It is possible within the spiritual evolutionary process, person to become all-knowing. And those people are called sages or wise men or women. I mean, those who are able to see the connection beyond the physical linkages. It's not a connecting the dots. It's an understanding that these dots make up a whole. And they can see how the whole is addressing, modulating itself to address this situation. So that's a part of our potential as divine beings in the making, to become all-knowing. Now, fortunately, until we get to that point, our ancestors have cultivated different systems that allow us to communicate with the divine aspect of God, that all-knowing aspect of God, that wisdom faculty of God, to get guidance without having cultivated the ability to use that vehicle itself. It's like, I do a lot of flying, traveling back and forth, but I'm able to fly because somebody else knows how to fly the plane.
Right.
If I'm in the air and something happens to the pilot, it's not going to be enough to say I stayed at a Holiday Inn last night so I can go up and get the top gate. We're all going to be in trouble. So the point is that we can access the divine part of our spirit through these technologies that our ancestors have cultivated, I mean, divination systems, oracles, that enable us to get divine guidance prior to awakening that part of the spirit itself. So they're like our crutch, so to speak, until we're able to walk on our own. The third division of spirit is the omnipotent part of the spirit, the all-powerful part of the spirit. It's the part of the spirit which is able to make manifest anything that it needs in order to fulfill the mission of the spirit, which is to serve as the vehicle through which God is able to awaken and develop its potential and become on earth as it is in heaven. So our destiny is linked in to the third part of the spirit, because everything that's created, as we said earlier, from the strict perspective of the first part of the spirit, everything is a part of one whole. So it's important that we understand our role within the whole. It's like being on a team sport, playing a team sport, like let's take football for example. Everyone needs to understand the role that they need to play in order for the team to move efficiently. If the guard starts thinking he's the quarterback, right? So the center hikes the ball to the quarterback and the guard jumps up and runs back and takes the ball from the quarterback, we got problems.
Right.
So as long as everything is, if everyone understands their role within the context of the development of this process of moving spiritually forward, then we're able to make the accomplishment and develop the spirit properly so that everything serves its own purpose and the purpose of the whole, which ultimately is to awaken the divinity within. So our destiny individually, we all then have a unique aspect, a unique piece of this puzzle that we play. And as long as we play our puzzle piece properly, then the whole moves forward appropriately. Other way of saying is, we all come to earth to become a divine being, a God man or a God woman. But my ability to do that is directly linked to my understanding of what specific aspects of my spirit I need to address in specific situations as they come up in my life. So we all have an overall destiny, but we all have an individual destiny, which is a part of the overall destiny. And that's what the third part of the spirit enables us to know. Enables us to express and do the things that we're supposed to do, because we have the power to make anything happen, as long as it's within the context of our destiny.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an important point to understand. And then there's the fourth division of the spirit. And the fourth division of the spirit is the part of the spirit through which we're able to, this would be, if we're doing some kind of analogies now, this would be what we might call the higher mind, so to speak. So we talk about mind, M-I-N-D. We're talking about an aspect of the spirit. So the fourth division of the spirit is the part of the spirit through which we're able to see how things are connected with one another and see how to properly preserve the relationships between things. And if not, preserve it to make the correction if there's a violation of these relationships.
Okay.
We're able to see that the choices I make, decisions I make, that I'm not compelled to make them. I can be influenced to make them, but ultimately, I have the ability to choose what I'm going to do in any given situation. And when I master that ability to choose, then that sets me up for the ability to move to the higher parts of the spirit, as we discussed earlier. Because if I understand that, even though I may be feeling fear in a given situation, an emotion that people call fear in a given situation, if I don't understand that I have the choice in the matter, then if I just had access to the higher part of the spirit we discussed earlier, I would zap out that situation. So it's in the fourth division of the spirit, and we're talking about a hierarchy now. The first division is at the top, so we're coming down in terms of hierarchical understanding. So the first division is at the top, the second division and the third division are below the first division. So the fourth division is below the second and third. So each builds on the next. You evolve to the next level based on your mastery of the previous level.
Okay.
It's like in school. You know, you evolve to the next grade based on your mastery of the current grade you're in. It wouldn't do us any good to put someone who's in kindergarten this year, who passes kindergarten this year, into high school next year, because they haven't learned the lessons that they need to learn in order to be able to process the information they're going to get on the high school level. So we have, as a building, it's a building of understanding and expression and mastery of information. And mastery of information is not for information's sake, but for application into one's life. Because again, okay. The spirit is the functional part of our being. Consciousness, our true self, has consciousness and spirit. Consciousness is that part of our being which perceives reality. Spirit is that part of our being which acts in reality. So it's not enough to know. You also have to be able to show.
Okay.
So it's like I can look at the keyboard of my typewriter, my computer, and I can even know where all the keys are. But until I master the ability to with accuracy, take my fingers and put them there at the key efficiently, I'm not going to be efficient as a keyboardist. So, if seeing what needs to happen and doing what needs to happen are two different things, and I'm sure everyone can relate to that, because we all, unless there's something wrong with us, for the most part, we all know what we should be doing to improve our situation, to solve a problem, to make a better world, whatever. Now, there are some people who have something wrong with them, so they don't know, honestly. And, you know, that Trump party is that. Wait a minute, moving right along. So there are people who don't know. The majority of people, most people know what they should be doing. Based in a limited range, again, because our knowledge is based on our experiences. And our experiences come from the culture in which we're raised. So what people, quote unquote, know is a direct reflection, unfortunately, of what the culture around them shows.
True.
So it's kind of, I really have to caveat, put that caveat in there, because when I say most people know what they should be doing, it's within a limited range of knowledge, because unfortunately, the culture in which we're living doesn't know what we should be doing. So hence, to get good knowledge, we have to go outside of our culture, the culture of our nurture. We have to tap into another kind of system of nurturing, which is why many of us have sought to go back to and link into our African roots. Because we know that in terms of feeding our spirit, nourishing our spirit, that our ancestors had cultivated techniques and technologies to address many of the ills that Western culture and Western society is plagued with. And many of our African brothers and sisters, unfortunately, have become so intoxicated with the West that they, unfortunately, have forgotten that point as well. So it takes it's a renaissance for us in terms of awakening and tapping back into and learning and mastering our African system. But there's also a renaissance taking place, beginning to take place in many parts of the continent from people who realize that they've been duped into believing that the West is best. The West is good for things. The West is the master of technology. No one can take that from the West. But in terms of the technology of living, and how to develop civil and sane society, the West is missing a lot, has a lot to learn. And until it humbles itself to begin to explore and implore the teachings of our ancestors, we're all going to be saddled with this, what we have currently as a social construct. So, all that to say that the fourth division of the spirit is the tipping point. It's mastery of the fourth division of the spirit, cultivation of the fourth division of the spirit, which will enable us to now evolve into and begin to develop the higher parts of the spirit, 1, 2, 3. It's mastery of the fourth division of the spirit that will enable us now to begin to move into and tap into the divine aspects of our spirit. But we can't get there until we master it. and evolution, as we go back and discuss the fourth division in more detail later, we'll be able to see the important features that we have to learn in order to go to the next step. Now, below the fourth division of spirit is the third division of spirit. And for lack of the, because we're working in English again, we'll call this the lower mind. So it's mental, it's a mental part of the spirit, but it's a part of the mind that functions beneath the integrated understanding of the fourth division of spirit. So since it's not an integrated vehicle of appreciation, then it functions from a segregated perspective, meaning that it's the fifth division of spirit. Now we're talking about the fifth division of spirit, which looks at things from the pieces and not able to connect the dots. It's the fifth division of spirit that looks at things based primarily on how these things appear and appeal to the senses, as opposed to the understanding of the value and the connection of things. For example, the fifth division of spirit, we look at things from the sense perception. So if I look at things that have the same color, I'm going to separate those things into groups based on their color. Now, that might be an efficient way of organizing things on one level, but understanding that just because something has the same color doesn't mean it has the same quality. So the fifth division of spirit looks at things externally through the senses. The fourth division of spirit looks at things from the qualities of the things themselves.
Okay.
I hope that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got it. Mm-hmm.
And because the fifth division of the spirit is looking at things externally through the senses, it's mostly tapped into and functioning out of the emotions. So if I have an emotional proclivity toward green, then I want to see everything green. But everything doesn't work well green. You know, try eating a raw green banana. That's not a good look.
True.
So we got to realize that, or a better way of saying it is, the old saying that a carpenter, about a carpenter, if all I have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's how the fifth division of spirit goes through life, looking at things from the peace perspective, from the emotional perspective, from the sense perspective, making judgments and decisions based on these things. And if anyone who's listening to me now can't look back into their own life and find a plethora of situations where their senses led them astray, then they might want to seek professional help. Because that's what happens in this culture. Everything is we learn through our youth to respond to things based on our senses. You like this because of some something, or you dislike that because of something else. We want to be with this because of the way it looks, the way it touches, the way it feels, whatever. We don't want to be with that because of the way it smells, whatever. So there's all these decisions that people make in their lives based on sense perception, which don't take into consideration the value of something, merely how it appeals to my emotion.
Mm-hmm.
Which takes us to now the sixth and seventh divisions of the spirit. And we're almost out of time. So,
I've got more time if you'd like to go over. If you need more time to cover it, that's fine. I mean, we can go as another at least another hour. I don't know if you have that much time, but however much time, if you need to, you know, go over some to cover that. I'm good with the time.
Well, unfortunately, I don't have another hour, and it's going to take more than 10 minutes to do it adequately, so we'll have to come back and focus in on that the next time. But the sixth and seventh divisions of the spirit, which is what we talked about earlier, Cobb and the Kyrie, I haven't been using the phonetic terms going down, but since we're going to talk about these in more in depth the next time, I'll just insert the phonetic terms at this point. So the Cobb and the Kyrie are the sixth and the seventh divisions of the spirit. Kemetic people use for them. And as I said earlier, as you study other African traditions and cultures, you'll find that they have different terms for these realities, but the same reality. Now, the Kaibit, or the sixth division of the spirit, is what we call the electromagnetic body, or the energy body, or the subatomic, or the body that's made of subatomic particles. It's called the living body, or the vital body, because it's the part of the body that gives the physical body, which is the seventh division of the spirit. As we said earlier, our ancestors understood it long before there was an Einstein. There was an Imhotep and other great geniuses who understood that energy and matter are really the same reality, just expressed through different levels of creation, of manifestation. So, the seventh division of the spirit, which is the physical body, what we call the physical body, is that part of the body which is made up of molecules and compounds and et cetera. The sixth division of the spirit, which is the energy body, is the part of the body which is made up of subatomic particles, electrons, et cetera, and quarks and gluons. All the energy of the electromagnetic spectrum and the subatomic spectrum compose what we call the sixth division of the spirit. It's the part of the spirit through which the physical body receives its energy, receives its vitality, hence the name the vital body. And a good analogy of this, and we'll discuss it more in depth next time, is that you've heard of people who've had amputations, right? Well, there's something that people experience who've gone through an amputation called the phantom limb. And what do you mean by phantom limb? Meaning that a person has their leg cut off, for example. And after the operation, they many times sense the leg's still present. Meaning that it feels to them like the leg is still there, even though the physical leg is gone. What is still there is the part of the sixth division of the spirit, the kaibit, through which the leg, the physical leg, receives its sense perception. So even though the physical leg is taken away, the electromagnetic leg, or the spiritual of the kaibit, sixth division of the spirit, doesn't immediately disappear. Ultimately, it dissipates back into the kaibit, the earth kaibit, so to speak, or the energy of the earth itself. But initially, there's a sensation of the presence of the physical structure, because it's through the sixth division of spirit that we sense reality. So when I touch something, I feel something. I may be feeling it because my finger is touching it, but what enables my finger to feel it is actually the energy around that surrounds my finger. And this energy that people have talked about, you know, it's been called the ghost, because, you know, people say that you see this white inner light around people, et cetera, and it hovers around them. And when a person dies, it hovers around them, and it disappears or whatever. Well, up until the 1950s, this was the stuff of spiritualism in terms of discussing this as a reality. But in the 1950s, a Russian named Krillian developed a camera that enables one to photograph, to see this energy that surrounds the physical body. It's been called the aura, you know, it has a number of different terms and a number of different people. But until then, it was just spiritualists who talked about it. But now it's scientifically verified that it is there. And you can visualize, you can see the picture of it. And it's also been scientifically verified through sound imagery. So if existence and the fact that acupuncture works, there's another level of scientific verification, because that's the energy body, the sixth division of the spirit, is the energy body, which again nourishes the physical body, through which the acupuncturist is able to affect by stimulating specific points in the energy body itself. So I want to stop there. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, would the energy body be synonymous with the life force?
It's called the life force. A different term.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mhm. Okay. So you wanted to stop. You wanted to break there.
Yeah, I want to stop there because to really go in more depth, we need more time. I don't want to start something that we can't really address in a better way.
Well, you've given us a lot. You've definitely given us a lot, and with a discussion on a topic as in-depth as the seven divisions of the spirit, you know, you have to, you know, first lay the foundation, and when you have an hour show, it might take a few shows to actually really lay the foundation, because again, it's, you know, we're not talking about something that can really, you have to do the topic justice, and I appreciate you actually laying the foundation, and even if you need more time, suggesting that we come back and pick up, you know, so that you can actually do the topic justice, because again, it's too important to just skim over. We're doing these shows for a reason, and that reason is so that we can grow spiritually. And so I'm very, very thankful to you, Brother Owa, to, you know, again, take the time out to come on and share this information with us. Again, everybody, we're talking about the seven divisions spirit, and we've laid the foundation. Again, I want to encourage everybody to go back, listen to the overview that's in the archives, and then listen to this show twice, okay, the one that you just heard today. I encourage you to listen to at least twice. And, Owa, and if you would you please just touch upon the importance of people sharing this information? I mean, we do these shows, you come on, you share this information with us, and obviously people, you know, I mean, I'm just judging by the numbers, I mean, hundreds of people go back and listen to the shows, but it's important to just, not to just listen to the show, but to share the information, because, you know, we're all trying to become God men and women, and the information needs to get out. Could you talk about sharing, Brother Owa, the importance of sharing this information?
Well, I think you just said it, that ultimately all of us want to improve the condition of the world. Anyone who's sane wants a better world, a better environment, a better society, a better nation-state interaction. We all want, ultimately, what our ancestors laid out is for man to reach his full potential. And the full potential of man is, again, to awaken the divinity that man was made in the image and likeness of. But if I don't understand that that's who I am, if I don't understand that my potential is to become divine, if I accept what the environment tells me, that I'm only human, with all that that means in terms of the problem, then I can only expect marginal, if that, improvement in the circumstances in which I live, because the problems of the world are the result of humans. I mean, and it's like, as Brother Malcolm said, you expect to take your case to the criminal. It's like taking your case to the criminal. If humans are the source of the problem, it's kind of hard to expect that we're working with the same human consciousness, same human proclivities and misunderstandings and misappreciations and limitations of expression, that things can be improved. We have to see that there's something beyond where we are. And we have to then link into a technology that will enable us to make that vision a reality. And even though we may, within the Western context, understand that there's a better world to be had, there's nothing within Western culture, unfortunately, that provides a systematic approach proving the members of the society to bring that world into reality. So, but fortunately, our ancestors developed the technology. Our ancestors manifested the technology as evidence from the historical records, where there were hundreds of surviving records of men and women who proclaimed God, men, and God, women by their peers, because they were able to awaken the divinity within them, which our ancestors called Osir. So, but if I don't know that that's a possibility, our information to circumscribe our approach to living. You know, if I believe I can only do this or I can't do that, then that's going to define where I try to go. But if I accept that I am a divine being and begin to understand what does that mean, and that there's a system in place, right, that people have done it, first of all, and that I can replicate their steps and I too can do it, then that opens up a whole range of possibilities in terms of what can happen in the world for everyone.
Brother Orwa, again, I wish we had more time. I'm very, very thankful that you're taking time out of your busy schedule to come and sit and share with us. Again, to all of the listeners, again, make sure that you share this information. I will be letting you know when the next show with Orwa will be. If you're not a follower yet on Health, Wealth, and Divine on Blog Talk Radio, you can actually follow the show, and you will be notified every time there's a new show that's scheduled, and that's one way you can find out when Orwa is going to be back. Just follow the show on Blog Talk Radio's Health, Wealth, and Divine, also known as Jawanza for Life, and you will be notified whenever there's a show. Or you can follow me on Facebook, okay? It's Jawanza, that's J-A-W-A-N, like Nigeria, Z like Zimbabwe, A, the number 4, Life, L-I-F, like Frank, E, and you will also be notified there whenever there's another new show that's going to be coming out. So I just want to, again, thank you, Brother Orwa, for all of the work that you do, for all of the lives that you've touched, with the work that you're doing to make the planet better, sharing this wisdom that you've been sharing, and I look forward to speaking with you again real soon.
Okay, thank you so much.
All right. I look forward to talking to you soon, my brother. Peace and blessings. Everybody, that is Orwa Hehi Metara Nkhamet, Paramount King of the Washington, D.C. region of the Osara Set Society. He's in the middle of, or not in the middle of, but in the beginning stages of another awesome, awesome series called The Seven Divisions of the Spirit. You didn't know there were seven divisions? Well, stay tuned. We're going to be telling you all about the seven, the different divisions of the spirit and why it's important to know that. Okay, so again, please share the information. Check out the archives. We've got shows, oh my God, with Owahehima Turan Comet, Shechem Shechem, Ra'un Nefer Amens. Done several shows that are in the archives on Waeb. how to heal and enhance your brain with comedic meditation, Stress Free for Life, that's another book that he's written, just different shows with him, as well as, just so many people. I mean, it's just like I got to just go down the list here. Heksham Suharu, Shekameh Abneter. As a matter of fact, everybody, we're gearing up for the fall equinox. Speaking of which, by the way, there's going to be a workshop on the fall equinox in Washington, D.C. If you would like more information about that, you can check out Sinbeb, their Facebook page, which is Sinbeb. That's S like Sam, E-N-B-E-B, Sinbeb Cafe, I believe it is. And they will have listed the time, the date, and all of the information you need to attend that as well. But I was saying, shows with Heksham Suharu on the fall equinox, understanding and preparing for the fall equinox, different shows with him on the Assyrian initiation, the Ra initiation, different solstices and equinoxes, shows with Sa'ank Tekun Nebu on the winter solstice, awesome, awesome shows with her. Brother Shechem Tepraim Sa'a has done several awesome shows on the just different shows on everything. Okay, so I want you to just go down the list, and you'll find some shows in there that are Sanu Pura, Keparog, shows on Bazi astrology. Okay, so you definitely want to scroll through the archives, and we've got shows on holistic health. Brother Coy Dunstan cured his mother of cancer in both breasts, her liver, and her colon by using a holistic approach to wellness. You want to check those shows out. He's a regular on. As a matter of fact, I believe he'll be on this Thursday. We've got shows with Dr. Ruby Lathan, who's cured herself of thyroid cancer using a holistic approach to wellness. Another special guest comes on once a month, Dr. Ted Watkins, who a former surgeon who is now on the holistic health path, and he's healing everything that moves. Okay, so you want to go down the list and check out shows by my special guests and more shows to come. So, again, I want to thank everybody. Thank you so much for all of the feedback that I get on the shows. I mean, it's wonderful to hear that you're enjoying the shows, and again, I pray that you just spread the word, because this information is not just for you, it's for everybody. So make sure you help to make the planet better by just clicking share, okay? Well, until the next time, everybody, I just want to say thank you so much for tuning in. I certainly appreciate you. I am the one who in giving receives more. Who am I? Who are you? Till the next time, my name is Javonta. Hit that.